The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's stories include Durham landlord won't take rental aid for struggling tenants, and world trade rebounding faster than expected. Akelia Jones's financial woes started in March of last year when the COVID-19 pandemic shut down her son's school in Durham, forcing her to quit her job while she looked for childcare. Jones, like many, looked to the government for unemployment insurance, but it took weeks for her to receive payments. Bills piled up, so the 31-year-old single mother decided to pay for childcare out of pocket and return to her fast food job last August. Then, a leak at her new apartment led to high water bills. One month, it was over $400, she said. When winter hit, she paid high electric bills after she bought space heaters to keep her family warm due to inadequate heating from the baseboard, Jones said. While on a drive in December, a driver ran a stop sign and T-boned her car. The accident tore ligaments in Jones's knee, putting her out of work until this past June. With limited income from unemployment payments, Jones was forced to choose between getting caught up from the past several months or paying rent. And with her legal aid attorney informing her that partial payments won't protect against eviction, Jones decided to use her limited income to pay other bills until her landlord, Rick Soles, addressed the maintenance issues at the apartment that were driving up her utility cost. "My kids can't be in here without lights and water. It's hard to make the choice, but I have to make the choice that is going to affect me right now, and that's the lights and water," Jones said. Jones hasn't paid rent since December 31st and is currently over $7,000 behind. She applied for emergency pandemic rental assistance from Durham County, along with 160 other tenants that rent from Solis, according to the county. But even with over $9 million left in federal funding in Durham's program, there's a problem. Solis won't take the assistance. And with the U.S. Supreme Court ending a nationwide moratorium on pandemic-related non-payment evictions about a month ago, he's been filing in court for repossession of his property. On Thursday and Friday last week, Solis was the plaintiff in over 100 eviction hearings. Jones was one of the defendants. "This was an act of God, something out of everyone's control," Jones said. "He needs to accept this assistance, like half of us won't make it if he doesn't take this assistance." Of the 160 tenants that have applied for aid, he's only completed his portion of the application for two of them, which are under review by the county. He told the magistrate in court last week multiple times that he's not accepting aid from the program. Durham's program is funded by rental assistance and the December stimulus from Congress. Federal guidelines allow aid to go directly to tenants if landlords refuse after a reasonable effort is made to convince them otherwise. But the county said the best way to keep the aid disbursement accountable is to require landlords to participate. Numerous tenants said in court that they had applied, but it didn't matter. The courts can't compel landlords to take the money. In almost all the cases last week that weren't dismissed by Solis, a judgment was granted if the tenant was behind on rent, even if they applied, meaning Solis is able to have the sheriff remove the resident from his property if they don't appeal within 10 days. Sola said that he is still willing to make payment arrangements with the tenants. But Sarah D'Amato, a legal aid attorney representing some of the renters, said landlords can still act to remove the tenants after 10 days. Even if they've worked out an agreement, but they haven't paid on their agreement, he still has a judgment that he can execute on, she said. And the debt many owe is beyond their means. As of August 15th, Sola said 166 of his tenants are behind on rent, ranging from $1,500 to $14,500 per household. People are now recovering still from COVID, D'Amato said. The payment plans he talks about are $200, an extra $500 a month on top of their monthly rent, and they don't have that money. Why he won't accept the assistance? Down the hallway from the courtroom in the Durham County Courthouse where Solis was collecting judgments to evict tenants, the County Department of Social Services had social workers helping tenants and landlords navigate rental aid applications. DSS program manager Lee Little said if Solis went down the hall and filled out his portion of the aid applications, he could be paid up to 12 months of past unpaid rent and 3 months of future rent per tenant. The county processes payments in about 2 weeks once the application is complete, he said. That's if the tenant has lost income due to the pandemic and earns 80% or less of the area median income. But Sola said he's not taking any assistance from the program at this point because he says the landlord-tenant agreement doesn't explicitly list how much he would receive. I'm not signing on just with them saying we can help. I want you to tell me a dollar amount, Sola said. Show me the numbers, and then I'll sign on. It's not helping the people who need help, and I can't take the blame for it, he said. But on the agreement, the landlord can specify the amount of rent owed plus fees up to 5%. If the tenant and landlord agree that the amount are correct, Little said, in virtually all cases, DSS will pay the full amount requested unless the amount doesn't match the agreed-upon rent on the lease. The county also prioritizes cases where the tenant is facing imminent eviction. That agreement is our way of justifying and making sure that the amount is the same. So we will go off of what is on the landlord agreement because both parties have signed off, Little said. The amount that he puts on there is 99% of the time what we pay if they're eligible. But Solis wants to know the amount he will get before he signs anything. He's even willing to accept other portions of the agreement, he said, such as not evicting a tenant for 60 days after the repayment period. Process the individual and call Rick Solis and say we can help them. We'll pay $6,000, Solis said, referring to a hypothetical tenant. I'll sign it. I'm committed. But DSS can't process applications until Solis acts on his portion, Little said. As of September 24th, the latest available information, over $8.4 million has been sent to landlords. There's plenty, enough landlords that have signed on, Little said. He said that the county has reached out to Solis to try to address his concerns with the program. The county has made payments on behalf of over 1,400 households as of last week, averaging about $5,870 per tenant. That amount is among over 7,200 applications, and over 2,100 of those are awaiting information from landlords like Solis. As for landlords that refuse assistance, Janine Gordon, DSS Assistant Director of Aging and Adult Services, said, there's only a handful. We have had a very good relationship with our landlords and continue to do so to make the process as easy as possible for them, she said. D'Amato said that she hasn't seen landlords refusing assistance to the degree that Solis is. She said most refusals of aid are due to landlords selling property to get out of the rental business, not for non-payment. The rest of Durham's rental aid applications are waiting completion from the tenant or under review by DSS, or the payment is on the way to the landlord. We're working as hard as we can, 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week, Little said, trying to help alleviate this pandemic crisis. At Jones's apartment, in addition to the water leak and damaged baseboard heating, there was a damaged electric outlet and plywood on an outside wall covering a hole. The water leak caused mold, giving her son irritations on his skin, Jones said. I'm willing to make a payment plan and pay him if he's going to do what he's supposed to do as my landlord, she said. Other tenants that faced Solis in court said they had maintenance issues at their apartments as well. D'Amato said many of her clients who rent from Solis sent her pictures and videos of damage to their units. She said legal aid has the city come and inspect units for damages. If it's severe enough for the apartment to be considered uninhabitable, tenants, like in Jones's case, can file a counterclaim against the eviction filing. As a landlord, you have the duty to keep the premises in a fit and habitable condition, D'Amato said. Solis called this legal strategy a defense mechanism. He said most tenants who have called the city are behind on rent. I've got like 800 other tenants that don't go through legal aid. They don't have to call the city. All they have to do is call our office. Plumbing's not working. We send a guy out there, he said. We understand our responsibility. It's a two-way street. Tenant pays rent. Landlord maintains the property. But Jones said she had been calling Solis's office about the issues with her unit since October before she stopped paying rent. Solis said that his office hasn't received any maintenance requests from Jones. He said in emergency situations such as Jones's, the maintenance request should be in writing. Jones said she was never given an email address to put anything in writing. Solis said they prefer phone calls over emails. When we call in for the work orders, there's no way to have a paper trail, Jones has said. To put request on paper, Solis said tenants could drop it off at the office or send by physical mail. He declined to comment specifically on the maintenance issues at Jones's apartment. D'Amato said using the city inspection to file a counterclaim puts everything in writing and on the record, but the damages aren't used as a defense against the actual eviction because the lease is still breached on the tenant's end because of nonpayment. We bring the counterclaims up because it's possible that the magistrate will award some damages, but it's usually not to offset the amount owed for a rent case, she said. Most of our clients, the main thing they want is for their house to be fixed, D'Amato said. They want to have heat in the winter. They want to have sewage not in their yards. They want to have electricity that works and full use of their home. DSS has announced that the county will stop accepting rental aid applications on October 4th to focus on its backlog of applications. Solis can still complete his tenant's applications past that date since the process has already started. But in order for Solis to be reimbursed lost rent over the past several months, he would need to complete applications from tenants before the program's funds are lapsed. And funds are going fast. Funds disbursed have increased monthly since June. So far, in September alone, the county has administered over $3 million in rental aid. Give us a fighting chance, because that's what this money is for, to allow for us a chance to get caught back up, Jones said. Give us the chance to do right by you. Next, world trade rebounding faster than expected. The World Trade Organization raised its projection for global trade growth in 2021 and 2022 to 10.8% and 4.7%, respectively, citing the resurgence of economic activity in the first half of the year. This year's increase in merchandise trade would mark the biggest year-over-year jump since 2010. In March, the World Trade Organization projected that trade would increase by 8% in 2021 and 4% in 2022. Trade has been a critical tool in combating the pandemic, and the strong growth underscores how important trade will be in underpinning the global economic recovery, WTO Director General Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala said in a report released on Monday. The report warned, however, that uneven access to vaccines could exacerbate economic divergence. The longer vaccine inequity is allowed to persist, the greater the chance that even more dangerous variants of COVID-19 will emerge, setting back the health and economic progress we have made to date, Okonjo-Iweala said. The WTO said the pandemic continues to present the biggest risk to the recovery in global trade and output. To date, more than 4.7 million people worldwide have died of COVID-19, and the number of global infections has passed 233 million, according to the World Health Organization. The WTO also warned about the risk of an inflationary spike, which could persuade central banks to taper their expansive monetary policy early. This could create negative spillovers, which would eventually hit trade flows, according to the report. The report added that the recent rise in inflation is probably temporary, driven by supply-side shocks affecting certain sectors in specific economies balanced against the unexpectedly strong recovery in demand. The WTO's optimistic projections could also be hampered by longer port delays, higher shipping rates, and extended shortages of semiconductors, with supply-side disruptions being exacerbated by the rapid and unexpectedly strong recovery of demand in advanced and many emerging economies. Gross domestic product fell 3.8% in 2020 and may expand by 5.3% this year and 4.1% in 2022, the WTO said. GDP growth has been spurred on by strong monetary and fiscal policy support and by the resumption of economic activity in countries that have been able to deploy coronavirus vaccines at scale, according to the report. Next, oil at highest since 2014 as OPEC panel advises sticking to plan. Oil in New York rose to the highest since 2014 as OPEC panel recommended proceeding with gradual supply hikes amid a rapidly tightening market. Futures jumped as much as 1.8% after the Joint Ministerial Monitoring Committee advised a 400,000-barrel-a-day increase in November, several delegates said. The meeting will be followed by a full ministerial gathering to review the recommendation. The market has tightened significantly following the economic recovery from the pandemic and supply disruption in the Gulf of Mexico due to Hurricane Ida. Surging natural gas prices have also raised the prospect of increased demand for oil products for power generation and are boosting inflationary pressures on the global economy. Modeling from the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its allies shows oil demand will outstrip supply over the next 2 months. Yet the alliance is unlikely to add more than the planned 400,000 barrels a day of output in November, Amrita Sen, chief oil analyst and co-founder of Consultant Energy Aspects, said earlier. I'm not saying they won't add more than 400,000 barrels a day down the line, but for today, we think that's unlikely, Sen said in an interview with Bloomberg Television. Saudi Arabia is very, very keen to reduce volatility, both on the upside and the downside. That's the key. If suddenly prices spiked, then they'll be very quick to react. OPEC production policy will be the main factor influencing oil prices over the coming months, according to Vital Group. There's a little chance of Iranian barrels returning this year, and U.S. shale producers aren't investing enough to raise output quickly, Mike Mueller said of Asia for the Oil Trading House, said Sunday in a webinar hosted by Dubai-based consultant Gulf Intelligence. Fuel switching due to high coal and gas prices is likely to drive up oil demand by 500,000 barrels a day this winter, Sri Paravakarusa, head of Asia Oil at consultant FGE, told Bloomberg Television. A cold winter could see consumption climb by a further 200,000 to 300,000 barrels a day, she added. Next, stocks fall as tech retreats, rising bond yields add to inflation worries. Technology companies led a broad slide for stocks on Wall Street Monday as rising bond yields and energy prices stoked investors' concerns about higher inflation. The S&P 500 fell 1.3%, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 0.9%, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ lost 2.1%. The price of oil hit a seven-year high as OPEC and allied oil producers stuck with a plan to cautiously raise production even as global demand for crude oil increases. Treasury yields, which moved sharply higher last week, rose again. The recent jump has contributed to weakness in technology stocks. Apple fell 2.5% and Microsoft dropped 2.1%. Big communication companies also fell. Facebook slid 4.9% a day after a former employee told 60 Minutes that the company has consistently chosen its own interest over the public good. The social network and its Instagram and WhatsApp platforms also suffered a worldwide outage that began around mid-morning on Monday. What you're seeing today is those areas, the expensive growth technology type areas that had led over the past few months as interest rates remain low, are now reversing and you're seeing interest rates move higher, said Megan Horniman, Director of Portfolio Strategy at Verdance Capital Advisors. The S&P 500 fell 56.58 points to 4,300.46. The decline follows the benchmark index's worst week since winter and a 4.8% pullback for September, the S&P 500's first monthly loss since January. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 323.54 points to 34,002.92. The NASDAQ lost 311.21 points to 14,255.48. Small company stocks also fell. The Russell 2000 Index gave up 24.16 points, or 1.1%, to 2,217.47. U.S. crude oil prices rose 2.3% and topped $77 per barrel for the first time since 2014. OPEC and allied oil-producing countries on Monday decided to stay with their cautious approach to restoring oil production slashed during the pandemic, agreeing to add 400,000 barrels per day in November. Natural gas prices jumped 2.6%. Energy companies rose along with energy prices. Devon Energy rose 5.3% for the biggest gain in the S&P 500. Marathon Oil climbed 4.1%. The yield on the 10-year Treasury rose to 1.49% from 1.47% Friday. The yield was at 1.31% on September 20th. The swift rise in interest rates has forced a reassessment of whether stocks have grown too expensive, particularly already high-priced technology companies. Investors are increasingly worried about inflation as oil prices rise and companies continue facing supply problems that increase their cost and force them to raise prices. Wall Street is also worried about the Federal Reserve's timing on trimming back bond purchases and its eventual move to raise its benchmark interest rate. "You really have a lot of reasons for the tape to trade defensively right now," said Julian Emanuel, chief equity and derivative strategist at BTIG. "If you're not going to get the bond market rallying and yields declining, then the likelihood is you see more volatility in stocks," he said. Investors are also preparing for the latest round of corporate earnings, which will ramp up in the next several weeks. They're also still closely monitoring economic data for more signals about the pace of the recovery as businesses and consumers deal with the impact of COVID-19 and the highly contagious Delta variant. Wall Street will get more information on the economy's health this week. On Tuesday, the Institute for the Supply Management will release its service sector index for September. The services sector is the largest part of the economy, and its health is a key factor for growth. On Friday, the Labor Department will release its employment report for September. The employment market has been struggling to fully recover from the damage done by COVID-19 more than a year ago. Tesla held on to a slight gain after the electric vehicle maker reported surprisingly good third quarter deliveries. The stock rose 0.8% after having been up 4% in the early going. In Asia, Hong Kong's benchmark fell more than 2% after troubled property developer China Evergrande's shares were suspended from trading. Shares in most European markets edged higher. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.